Well, friends, he is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He is still risen. He is still alive. He is still Lord of all things. I love reminding us of that through this Easter season. If you were here last week, we said because Jesus is alive, there is hope for this world. There is hope for today. There is hope for life after death. We believe that Jesus is not some figure or hero that's stuck in the past, but he is alive. He is available. He is open to relationship with us. He is risen, and therefore we can come to him to find rest, peace, strength, guidance, and love. And I would contend to you that one of the primary ways that we experience the reality of Jesus' resurrection is through prayer. Through prayer. Through interacting with the risen Jesus. Prayer is founded upon the reality of Easter Sunday. Because the risen Jesus is now exalted to the right hand of the Father, from heaven he sends us the Holy Spirit who is within us now and who now cries out in our hearts, Abba, Father. This is an amazing reality, right? How amazing prayer is. But oh, how easy to forfeit the peace we could have had, to neglect this privilege and power that we have through prayer. You know, Wednesday morning, I woke up feeling stressed. I had a very full day on Tuesday. I had a friend who visited me late into the evening. We woke up, went to Tiger Breakfast, and we had breakfast together. Then he departed to continue on his journey. And I knew my Thursday was pretty much already booked. And I was like, I got to get this sermon done. And so I really felt within my spirit, I really got to finish this sermon on prayer. Maybe I should skip prayer this morning. I knew how preposterous this temptation was. And so I was at home, and I needed to be at home for a minute because the kids were getting ready for school. And so I sit down at my dining room table, and I'm just going to try to be quiet before the Lord. Out of my left ear, I hear some clattering in the kitchen, some people eating. And then out of my right ear, I hear the piercing sound of cocoa melon. If you don't know what cocoa melon is, consider yourself blessed. It is kids' music videos. And it repeats end on end and end, amen. Bethany, yes, it gets stuck in your head. Here I am trying to have this quiet moment with the Lord, and I realize I'm just going to have to wait till a more opportune time. So I went to my office eventually and had some time with God. But that is how easy it is, right? We live in this age of distraction. We try to find time for prayer, and we find all these distractions come from within and from without. So I share all this to say, I know the struggle. I don't always choose what is best. I too get distracted by many things that need to get done and the things going on around me. And I too need to hear Jesus' gentle voice calling my name. Nate, you're so distracted by many things. Don't forget the one thing that's truly needed. We all need regular encouragement to keep on praying so we don't give up on the one thing that we truly need, which is that time and intimacy with God. So if you're like me and you need some encouragement to keep on praying this morning, would you turn with me to Luke chapter 10? We're starting in verse 38. And I'm going to give us three encouragements to prayer this morning. First, Jesus highly values listening prayer. He highly values listening prayer. This first story that you heard is infamous. It's the classic Mary and Martha. But before we interpret the story too much, we must be reminded that Luke places this interaction right after the story of the Good Samaritan, where Jesus says, go and do likewise. Go put love into action like this Good Samaritan. The life of following Jesus is active. It is full of kingdom work. After all, because of the hope of the resurrection, because that all of life will ultimately matter eternally, the Apostle Paul said to us, always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. As Easter people, we believe that. So this is not a story that teaches that prayer is always better than taking action. It is also not a story that condemns Martha for offering hospitality to Jesus. This was expected. This was a way of serving him. But this opportunity to that she had to hear directly from Jesus was of more value and was of the one thing she really needed. You know, some decisions we face are easier than others. As Christians, hopefully we at least know that we are to choose holiness over sin, right over wrong. As sometimes, as hard as those decisions might be, they at least should be more clear-cut to us, right? But it's really difficult when you have to choose between two good things. What do you do then? I mean, consider Martha's dilemma. Do I serve Jesus by making all these preparations, or do I stop and listen to Jesus? Both are good things, right? As one scholar put it, this isn't a story about choosing between good and bad. It's about choosing what's best in the moment. And again, sometimes our decisions are more obvious. I mean, I'm really glad the Good Samaritan, you know, wasn't seeing this man on the side of the road and he's crying out for help. I mean, can you imagine if he was like, I got to pray about this. Lord, should I help this man on the side of the road? What should I do? How preposterous, right? The decision is obvious. You put love into action. But sometimes it's not that obvious. If it's between two good things, what do? We need discernment from the Holy Spirit. Paul says this in Philippians 1, 9 through 10. This is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best. Your love should be in action, but it needs to be discerning what is best through the knowledge and insight that comes from the Spirit. And what we need to have that is prayer, particularly the listening type of prayer. Like Mary, we need time at Jesus' feet, just listening to his word. Sometimes we do this by reading the Bible and listening to what God might be saying to us. More frequently these days, I find myself being drawn to silence. I'll bring an issue up with God. Because of my calling, one of the frequent issues that I bring to God, one of the questions I bring to him is, Lord, what do you want me to say to your people this weekend? Legitimately, I ask that and try to listen and discern, what is God wanting me to say to you? Recently, I found myself asking God about stewardship. No surprise. I was asking him how he wanted me to steward my passion for running. And I felt like, you know, I said, basically, I said to the Lord, you know, if you want me to use this passion for running in some way, I need you to pursue it for me. I got a lot of good things to choose between from. My time is in many ways spoken for. But if you want me to use this, Lord, I just need you to show me a clear way. It was about 2 weeks later, I ran into the track coach from the high school. And we got to talking, and he basically said, I'm the only guy out here with 43 guys. And I said, well, would you ever need any help? And I don't want to repeat the words he said, but he basically said, oh, yes, I need help. So I'm helping out. I'm volunteering at the high school a couple days a week just to help out the coach over there. I think it's a wonderful opportunity. But I needed God's discernment on that. To choose what was best. Now, sometimes God guides us with opportunities, often, or other times it's through scripture, through impressions you have in your heart, through your thoughts, through what others say to you, especially in the church, through your experiences as well. And if we want to experience the reality of a living Jesus, being our living shepherd, guiding us, don't we have to be seeking that guidance? Don't we need to want that guidance? Lord, how do you want me to handle this situation at work? Lord, how should I steward my time and my talents, my treasure, as we talked about? Lord, should I take this service opportunity or not? Lord, what path do you want me to take in my career or my studies or these decisions I have to face? I encourage you, I implore you to take your difficult questions to God, your discernment questions. Ask the Lord about it and listen. I believe God loves to answer these kinds of prayers. But also, I want you to take comfort in the fact that to pray well, you don't even have to say anything. You don't even have to say anything. You can just show up in God's presence and listen. And I think for many of us, that would actually be a balm to your soul. Instead of bringing God your shopping list of desires and needs, you can just rest in his presence. And sometimes, to be honest with you, sometimes after praying like this, I have sometimes felt that I didn't really pray. I think because of the way we've been taught to pray, that whether it's the ACTS acronym or presenting your request or whatever it is, I feel like I need to be saying a bunch of things. So then I have this time of quiet with God. Now I feel like a little bit guilty, like I haven't actually prayed. Like I didn't accomplish anything. But I'm reminded of the story that Jesus highly values listening prayer. He highly values when we just come and sit at his feet and have relationship with him. And I believe through the Holy Spirit, he does want to guide us as a good shepherd if we would just value listening more than talking. So don't be discouraged about just listening to God. Jesus highly values it. In fact, it may be the one thing that's missing for you. It might be the one thing that's really needed for you right now. He highly values our listening prayer. Number two, Jesus models and teaches prayer. The next section, we get to Luke chapter 11. This is primarily about the Lord's Prayer. Last year, we did a whole series on the Lord's Prayer. If you weren't here, you want a refresher, you can go back to our sermon archives and listen to all that. But today, I just want to focus on how Luke introduces the Lord's Prayer. He says, one day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. Luke is often showing us Jesus praying. He's trying to get us a message across to us. At his baptism, Jesus was praying, and heaven opens. In Luke 5:16, Luke says that Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Before calling his 12 disciples, he goes on a mountain and prays all night. Jesus was praying right before he asked his disciples, "Who did the crowd say that I am?" Before the transfiguration of Jesus, he takes Peter, James, and John to the mountain to pray. This was the regular pattern, habit, practice of Jesus. He models for us a life of prayer. He made space for this time alone with the Father. And yet, in one of the early church sermons, the Apostle Peter sums up the life of Jesus by saying, he went about doing good. He went about doing good. Jesus Christ's life was one of the most active ministry lives there could be. He was healing crowds. He was teaching people. He was discipling people. Large crowds of people followed him in all these kinds of places. He went about doing good, and yet he only did what he saw his Father doing. He made space for prayer. He made space to hear from his Father, to receive power and guidance through prayer. I don't know about you, but sometimes it is so easy for me to trust in my own understanding, to trust in myself and all my ways, to try to make my own path straight. Yet in pride, we allow the enemy to let us think that prayer is not ultimately important, that perhaps maybe it doesn't make a difference, that we'll be fine, we'll figure things out one way or the other. But friends, what soldier would go into battle without any armor on? What athlete would enter the competition without the proper shoes and equipment? What musician would play a concert without first tuning and rehearsing and doing a sound check? But yet this is what we do when we neglect time with the Lord. If Jesus needed to pray, so do we. And Jesus then does not leave us in the dark about what we're to do in prayer. He gives instructions to pray. And when he finishes, one of his disciples says to him, "Lord, teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples." Have you ever noticed that we have the Lord's Prayer because of a prayer request? Isn't that amazing? This came about by prayer. I love what Dal Ralph Davis writes here. He says, "How much seems to rest on this simple incidental request?" But no, Jesus didn't simply foist this teaching on them. He didn't say, "Well, you men need a guide for prayer. Here is one you can use." No, it came about naturally. He waited, we might say, until someone asked him. Isn't this his way still? Doesn't he often allow us to feel and sense our need before he moves to fulfill it? I mean, this is a mystery of prayer, that God is responsive to our prayers, that we have not because we ask not. And then the disciples say, Lord, teach us to pray. Oh, this is a type of prayer the Lord, I believe, loves to answer. What other things would you like the Lord to teach you? You know, we just sang a little bit ago, Lord, teach us full obedience. Oh, what a great prayer that is. Lord, teach me to love you above all else. Teach me to love my neighbor as myself. Teach me how to understand your word. Teach me how to parent my kids. Teach me how to witness to my colleagues or neighbors. Teach me how to be healthy. Teach me how to be silent in prayer. Teach me how to communicate with others better. Teach me how to have self-control. Lord, teach me how to reduce my stress and my worry. Oh, these are prayers I believe the Lord loves to answer. He is our teacher. He wants to guide our lives. He wants the power of the Spirit to work in our lives. We just need to be teachable in seeking his guidance and express that desire through prayer. So the disciples, they ask the Lord to teach them. He gives them the Lord's Prayer. This is a prayer that we recite as a church. We recite maybe alone when we pray. And it's also a model for all praying. I like to use the Lord's Prayer as a prompt for prayer, that the different topics can suggest different types of ways that we can pray. So friends, be encouraged. We already learned you don't have to say anything at all for prayer to be effective and good. And on the other hand, if you feel like you need to say something, the Lord has given you a prayer to pray. This is an authorized prayer. These are the topics that the Lord loves for us to pray about. So if you don't have any words, that's fine. And if you need words to say, the Lord gives them to you. We can pray. He has given us everything we need. You cannot go wrong with these two things. So Jesus highly values our listening prayer. He models for us and teaches us to pray. And then finally, Jesus gives us confidence in prayer. He gives us confidence in prayer. After all this, Jesus gives a parable about going to a friend at midnight because a guest has arrived. He has no food to offer him. Hospitality is such a huge value to the whole community that this is a crisis situation where a positive response is expected. And these excuses, my door is locked, my children are in bed, these are just bad, lame excuses, to be honest with you. And one commentator compared it to the need to help a pregnant woman going into labor, which made me immediately think of Jonathan and Brooke. And I hope this doesn't actually happen, but I imagine Jonathan calling me at midnight and saying, Nate, Brooke's going into labor, and our car won't start. Can we borrow your car? I mean, imagine. Oh, geez. It's late. My kids are in bed. I might need the car tomorrow. Ridiculous, right? The response you expect is, of course, I'll be right there. You see, because this is a shameless request on Jonathan's hypothetical request. It's midnight. He's asking to borrow my car. But the situation demands a positive response. So my sense of shame, if you all heard that I didn't lend my car in this situation, what bad reputation that would give me if I was such a miser. So because of my sense of shame and also Jonathan's shamelessness in asking, I will fulfill this request. I will give him my car in this situation. I really hope this doesn't happen. But I will give you my car if you need it. And if we who are sinful would respond positively, how much more will our Father in heaven? God is really good, and he wants what's really good for us. Jesus wants us to have confidence when we go to the Father. And so he says to us, ask and will be given to you, seek you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be open. Now, I think experience tells all of us that this is not a genie in a bottle blanket statement of how prayer works. And often in Scripture, seeking is often related to the one who is seeking God. It's the one who is seeking after the things of God. And I think this is made more clear by verses 11 through 13, which if you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, we'll give him a snake instead. Or if he asks for an egg, we'll give him a scorpion. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Yes, as Christians, we are given the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit also continually fills us. We need to be continually filled with the Spirit. As Paul says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. The scholar Leon Morris notes that this reference is rather to the Spirit's work in the Christian's life in general. So, if your desire, if your prayer is to follow Him, to obey Him, to grow closer to Him, to be more holy, to get rid of sin and vice, to receive guidance for what He would have you do, to discern what is best in the Holy Spirit, friends, then rejoice. The Father is pleased to answer these prayers. He wants to give you, He is delighted to give you the power and guidance and presence of the Holy Spirit. He's delighted to do that. So ask and seek and knock and see God give you the presence and power of the Spirit in your lives. So, Jesus highly values listening prayer. He models for us and teaches us to pray, and He gives us this confidence in prayer to come to the Father. Friends, I encourage you to pray the same thing the disciples prayed. Lord, teach me to pray. Teach me to pray. I want to get better at praying. I want to know how to have a relationship with You. Today is also Blessed Sunday around the Covenant Church, which Pastor Zach will explain in a brief moment. But it's on this day that we pray for our loved ones and our friends and our neighbors who need to know the Lord as their Savior. And I want to encourage us on this day, may we not just pray for them, but also for ourselves, that the Holy Spirit would empower us to be the witnesses that Jesus calls us to be. So may you be encouraged to pray in faith to our Father who loves us, through the Son who died for us, in the power of the Spirit who lives within us. Brothers and sisters, let's pray.